Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 39 from October the 24th of 1992. We are in a new venue, Doc. We are in at Sand Lick Elementary School in, I guess it's pronounced Heysay, Virginia. Doc, you are the master of all things research. I'm sure you've got some cool demographic information for us as you attempt to insult the good people of Virginia here in Sand Lick Elementary School.
I just state facts. If they're insulted, then they've insulted themselves. But yes, I know my role and I do my job well. Sand Lick Elementary School is actually in Birchleaf, Virginia, not in Hayseed, Virginia, like the town you said where we're running here. In 2000, get this, dudes. 2010, the population was 498.
Damn.
In 2000, the population was 186.
God, that's like a city block.
This town is located in Western Virginia. It is 97.85% white.
So there's one black person there.
I like it already.
Wait. This was the surprising part about it. Only 11% of the population is below the poverty line. I would have expected that to be much higher. And maybe this is why. Maybe they all have jobs down at the local Subway, because apparently Hayseay has a Subway. It's on their Wikipedia page. And I don't mean a Subway like where cars go. I mean sandwiches and shit.
Oh, wow.
And they're proud of it. So there you go. We're in Sand Lick Elementary School, Hayseay, Virginia. And I got to say, I don't know that these people have had entertainment like this in a long time, because they are fired up for this episode. And you know what? So am I.
Well, fucking, where'd all these people come from?
From all over the county, bruh.
How many people you said were in this town in 92?
I don't know in 92, but in 2000 it was 186, and in 2010 it was 498.
Jesus Christ.
It's the county, though. They're pulling. That's how this rural shit works. They don't really consider cities all that big. It's the county.
Yeah.
Damn, Doc. That's how this rural shit works. They don't consider it.
From a guy who was born in like the seventh largest city in the United States and has lived in such his entire life. Right. I get it. But I also understand what country folk are going through, too. And let me just segue from the demographics here that I want to say something, since this whole shindig of a show was my idea. I just want to say that a long time ago, I told you guys this shit was going to pick up, and it was good to get there, but it's going to get even better. I don't want to give away the disability checks at the beginning, but let me just say that of the first 39 episodes, this is episode 39. This is my favorite episode of Smoky Mountain so far, and I can't wait. So let's get the fuck on with it.
Okay, that's great, Doc. Appreciate the demographic information. I could have swore it was Hayseay, Virginia on the graphic. Did I miss something there? Because you kind of tried to bury me there. Okay,
it was.
Just making sure. I'm just making sure. That's what the graphic said. So just to state that fact.
Damn.
Okay, very good. Harper, how you doing, man? Got your little golden girls in? Ready to watch?
Yeah.
Ready to do some Smoky Mountain?
Let's do this.
Okay, so here's the thing. Are any of the golden... Betty White's still alive, but are the rest of the golden girls alive still?
No, uh-uh.
They all died? I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Dirt Nabs.
Damn, that sucks, man. Because I know Harper... You'd probably still bang Blanche nowadays, wouldn't you, Harper?
No.
She's dead.
No, I mean if she was alive.
No.
No?
No.
What's your oldest guilty pleasure of the old women that are still alive out there that you'd be like, yeah, I'd like to get my hands on that?
Oh, fucking who? Probably Diane Lane.
Helen Mirren, dude. Look that up sometime.
Or the chick from the fucking blonde Morgan Fairchild. I remember her.
Yes.
Oh, the broad from Nick at Night. That was from New Orleans. Who the fuck was her name? Rhonda Shear.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
He's got them listed. Okay. We're getting into some Smoky Mountain now, 5 minutes into this show. The signs have begun, Doc. The signs. if you are not watching along with us and are just listening, we highly encourage you to watch along with us as Bob Caudle introduces us to what's happening on this week's show. Dutch is holding up a sign that says, "Don't believe a word he says." And in the next cue card or sign, he says, "Believe me, I am right. Yes, you may worship me." I want to point out the second card that he holds up that says, "Believe me, I am right." Believe is misspelled. Just a point of note that put it over that much more. It was spelled B-E-L-E-V-E. So, yes, the signs have begun, and that was a mild one compared to what is coming. Bob Caudle tells us that the Rock and Roll will fight the Heavenly Bodies for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team titles on this episode. Caudle also says we'll get an update on the Tim Horner situation. Caudle does want to know what's up with the signs Dutch is holding, and Dutch says, "Don't worry about it." Now, I want to make a point of note that when I was on the Jim Cornette Experience, Jim Cornette did say that Bob Caudle really did have no idea what was on those signs. So I want to mention that as we're into this. As Dutch is giving his update on who will be on Down and Dirty, which is going to be Bob Armstrong, Ricky Morton comes in to tell us that Robert Gibson is in the building right now, but he is on the way, and he'll be here for the big rematch with the Heavenly Bodies for the titles. Doc, I'm going to stop right there before I play part of that opening segment and see if you and Harper have anything to say. So, Doc, I'll go to you first.
I've been waiting on the signs. I've been wondering. I couldn't remember exactly when they get here. It's an added touch to the open of every show. They're going to be fine. And like I said, Caudle doesn't know what's on them. So, hell yeah.
Yes, agree. Harper, your thoughts?
It was something new, you know?
Just wait. They get good.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, God.
Some of them turned into things you could not do in 2017.
There is no could not. You would be fired immediately off the air. You'd have people would be willing to. He. Let me say this. I don't find offensive with one of them that he does, but I could see there are a group of people out there who would. Someone would find it offensive and would get mad, but whatever. So here we go. Let me play the part from this episode that you all probably want to hear related to the opening segment. And it may contain a little bit more than we want, but I'll play it anyway.
Down and Dirty with Dutch will be the Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong, with the latest news on the Master.
Fans, as we say, it's going to be a great, great hour right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You don't want to go away. You want to stay with us during this entire hour because we've got some great wrestling in store for all the wrestling fans, Dutch. And as we said earlier,
coming over here for?
Yeah, well.
This is our time, Bob Dollar, not Ricky Morton's time.
Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express. Rick, we just said this is what we've all been waiting for, that tag team title match.
That's right, Bob. You know, it's been a long, hard road for the Rock and Roll Express, but we finally got our match for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team titles. But I want to tell all the folks here something. Robert Gibson's mother is a deaf mute. So yesterday she went under surgery on her eyes. But Robert Gibson, I just called there. He's on his way back here flying into the Tri-City airports. He should be here later on. And I can't wait because, brother, the titles are on the line right here tonight, baby. Let's get it.
All right, fans. It's going to be a great one. And Dutch will be ready. We'll have the action. Right now, let's go to the ring.
Doc, you got anything from Ricky Morton's appearance right there?
I'm confused. He said Robert Gibson's mom is a deaf mute and having surgery on her eyes. What does that mean?
Well, if she's having surgery on her eyes and she's deaf, her eyes are only sense of perception, so that's probably...
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're the one with the PhD.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why, but I have a feeling that this is going to play a role throughout the show.
Slightly. Harper, you had anything from that?
You think she got her cataract implants? That's where.
I don't know. There, I had a feeling you'd go there. I don't know. I tell you what. Did you hear that crowd when he came out?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what over sounds like. Mm-hmm. There's a couple hundred people in this building, but they were loud. They were on it. You heard Bob Caudle say we're going to the ring. We got Paul Lee and Mike Sampson in the ring versus the Fantastics, Jackie and Bobby Fulton. And Fuller and Golden join commentary, and Golden is not happy And Doc, I was gonna leave it up to you. You wanna? He's got some zingers in here that are entertaining. I was gonna play him, but I was gonna ask you and Harper what y'all thought if y'all wanted to hear him and react live to him.
Whatever Doc, you want to do, partner.
Play him.
All right. Here sure. we go.
Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden have joined us. Yes, sir. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to see you out here, and I know you'd like to make some comments toward the fantastic.
Sure would, Dutch. It's a pleasure to be with you. I don't know about this other guy over here, what his name is, anything, but it's a pleasure to be with you. I want to talk about these fantastic just a minute. These two guys that call themselves fantastic are not fantastic. Me and Fuller's fantastic. These guys are losers. Me and Fuller is wore out a dozen set of knee pads apiece, down on our knees, training to wrestle with these pigeons, just so that we can get back in contention for a title shot somewhere down the line. It's not working. I'm going to tell you right now, Smoky Mountain Wrestling has got everything all fouled up. We ought to be wearing the belts right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Robert, I know you've got some strong comments.
Wait a minute, Robert. I was just going to say, they look pretty
just
sharp in that ring to me.
I don't want to hear none of your stuff. I'm here to talk to Doug. Doug, I want to tell you one thing, man. Me and Jimmy come up here and we realized that it was a bad place to be. We didn't care about being up there. We didn't want to be up here.
No.
But we decided we got a chance to see the guys were fixing wrestling. I realized they're handicapped. I realized that they have their own problems. But I'm going to guarantee you this, Doug. Me and Jimmy are the guys to take care of them.
Well, what about the Smoky Mountain Wrestling and saying you guys have to fight your way back in contention? To me, that's wrong. You guys are top contenders. You're champions in your own right, and I don't think you need to have any kind of wait list, especially on the same waiting list as the Fantastics.
You got it, Dutch. I said it right there. You know, I said I'm sitting here watching handicapped. I'm watching some fellas that are dragging themselves up from behind. They're definitely losers. And at the same time, you're looking, oh, and the devil team move. They can't even get into the ring.
All right, I let it play for a minute because I always love listening to Fuller. This is great because did you hear Golden Doc call him a bunch of midgets again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's. I always hear people say the appropriate term nowadays is little person. So I don't know. I mean, I'm really not trying to insult anyone, but I'm pretty sure you wouldn't hear somebody call somebody a midget nowadays on TV.
Oh, no.
No.
So, no. I don't know. I thought that was good. The Fantastics obviously win the match. It's quick. You know, I don't know. You got anything from the match, though, Doc?
Just a short, quick match. We're going to the Fantastics haven't been on TV in a few weeks, so they're reestablishing them as you know, top of the card babyface tag team.
Pretty much. That's about it. Harper, what about you?
I love when he calls them handicapped and he pops himself.
I chuckled at that too. He sure did. Okay, we go from that to they go to a recap of last week, and this was how we went off air with Horner jumping Dirty White Boy. It leads to a promo with Dirty White Boy and Ron right here, and this is what we're gonna. This is happening this week. This new promo. So let's see what old brother Ron Wright has to say on this week's episode of the show. Man, I'm just a poor old feeble old man.
Fans, we're here right now with Mr. Ron Wright. Of course, he's the manager of the Smoky Mountain champion, the Dirty White Boy. And this situation with Tim Horner, looks like you guys have been trying to kill Tim Horner in the last few weeks.
No, Mr. Caudle, what's happening? I've been trying to keep my man off of Tim Horner. Tim Horner keeps coming out here and attacking me, an old man, jumping on me out here when we're just out here doing nothing. I don't know what we're going to do. They're going to keep on. I'm going to turn him loose on him. Tell him, brother.
That's it. You know, last time on TV, you seen Tim Horner jump me from behind like a dog. You seen it and everybody else seen it. If he was here today and had one gut in his body, he'd come out here face to face, nose to nose. But you know what? I guess, Horner, your old lady's not letting you come out here because she knows that for one reason, if you showed up, then I'd beat your stinking ugly face in.
A woman to come out here and back the man.
Wait, here comes Tim Horner. Wait a minute, the Dirty White Boy. He's trying to get away. Wait a minute. He's got fans, we're going to be back. We got to go. We'll be back right after this. Wait a minute. Let's see. Tim Horner. Come here. Right, let's see. Tim.
Tim, we're still on. We managed to stay on. I thought he was going to jerk my microphone out of my hand there, but we're still on, Tim. And I know you wanted it. They really worked you over in the last couple of weeks.
You know, them two of the fastest talking guys I've ever seen, and it looks like their feet's just a little faster than their mouth. I can't ever seem to keep up and get them right where I want them. One of these days, white boy, you're going to pay the dues for hanging me, for busting the bottle over my head. Ron Wright, if you get in the way, I may hit him too.
All right, fans, we're going to be back. We're going to have more right after this.
That was great until Tim Horner came out and started talking. And
yeah.
Tim Horner's the dude, Hopper, that as Hopper's jerking off or something, I hear some kind of noise, but anyway, must be mixing his Nestle chocolate milk. Tim Horner's like the dude, nothing. Tim Horner's the dude who Hopper probably crosses paths with sometimes, and he's not going to say any names, and I'm not going to say any names either, but the like veteran of 20 years in the ring and wants to give you promo advice, and you're like, brother, have you listened to your promos before? I'd rather just, okay, you sound good. Thank you. I appreciate the advice. I'll listen to that. And at the end of the day, you're like, that son of a bitch can't talk for nothing. What is he talking about?
Yeah, for that, real, huh?
That was my take on him, yes.
He killed the hard-on.
Yeah, there you go. He killed the hard-on. Doc, what did you have from that promo?
Well, all I can say is think how much better, how great the rest of this episode has to be to still get the highest Doc rating and overcome Tim fucking Horner. And just know this, if you're out there, he's not here forever. He's not here for the whole thing. Corny finally got tired of his shit and sent him packing. So just know that someday he'll be gone. That's it. There's your light at the end of the tunnel.
I tell you, that shit about his wife must have been for real, huh? Because he keeps bringing up his wife.
Mm. It's real as real can be. Well, and here's what I've heard Jim Cornette say on his show. Jim Cornette says that Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony and Tim Horner were good friends.
Right.
So, I don't have any background information. Don't know if Tony Anthony's speaking the truth here. But when Dirty White Boy is saying all these things about his wife and how his wife wears the pants, you gotta believe, after knowing what Cornette has said about Horner's wife, telling Horner that he can't juice, he's not allowed to juice, that Dirty White Boy may be preaching some truth here. He's blending in some truth with some working. At least that's what I think.
Yes.
With that said, Doc, we've reached a milestone moment.
A milestone moment.
There is a local promo that plays with the Rock and Roll Express and Tim Horner. I'm going to play that at the end of the episode. Right now, though, is what Doc just said, a milestone moment. It is a little lengthy. However, it is completely relevant to what is about to happen with Smoky Mountain Wrestling and completely relevant to wrestling today and how corporations and wrestling don't mix. And we're going to play the whole thing for you. And Doc, go ahead. You were going to say something. You were saying it's completely you were about to rave about it before I hit the start button. Go ahead.
I watched this again a couple more times this week. I have watched it since the first time I went through about a year ago. We've had some iconic moments of the Rock and Roll getting back together, Ricky Morton in the backyard, some really fun moments. This, to me, is what you're about to hear is the best 4 minutes of the first 39 episodes. This is our best moment. And really, I got to say, if you're not watching along at home, what you're going to hear is great, but the visual of all of what this goes along with this is so awesome. It's what makes Southern wrestling. It's what makes territories great. I can't put this shit over enough.
Yeah, me either. And I want to say, so there are some times in this episode where the episode start or the promo starts where Smothers is on a swing porch, on a porch swing, I should say. And there are times in it where he's on a boat fishing and he's got no shirt on, just a good old country boy. So I'll try to interject as this thing plays if I can remember. But I just had to point that out. There's some things that you won't see, obviously, as you listen. That said, let's hear from Tracy Smothers.
Fans, right now we want to hear from one of the most exciting young men in wrestling, making his way now to Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
It's the wild-eyed Southern boy, and are we glad to have him, Tracy Smothers. Let's hear from Tracy right now.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Bob Armstrong of Smoky Mountain Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to talk to the fans a little bit. Now, I got a little story to tell, and I'd like for y'all to sit back and just listen. All y'all know, for the past 2.5 years, I've competed in World Championship Wrestling out of Atlanta, Georgia. And y'all know, for the past year and a half, the side of the fence I've been on. Well, I'd like to enlighten you on a little story here. When we first came in there, I was one half of the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, and we signed a contract for more money than I've ever seen in my life. And man, we got in there and things were going good, and we come that close to being the United States Tag Team Champions, and even closer to being the World Tag Champions. After we'd been there about a year, I guess, some of the corporate people, the non-wrestling people, I might add, approached us and said, you know, guys, your outfits, you just don't look flashy enough, and we just don't really want that redneck country boy style, and you know, we would really like for you to change your name and maybe, you know, brighten that outfit up and get it, you know, get a nice shining outfit and be cowboys and take you away from that Southern boy. It just felt like they didn't like the fact that we were from the South and represented the South and what we stood for, and they wanted to change it altogether. And even where we're from, want us to say that we were from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, no offense to the folks that live out there in Wyoming. I've never been to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I don't reckon I'll ever go. But, you know, we did that, changed our name to the Young Pistols. And, man, they started sending us to these towns up north. And I've never been up north before, and things are fast-paced, and folks up there just ain't in that good old Southern hospitality. And they didn't really like us, and to tell you the truth, we didn't really like them either. And when we started getting, man, we started getting bad vibes up north and even down south, people didn't understand. Why are y'all called the Young Pistols? Why are y'all not the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, which we had been for the past 5 years? And we couldn't answer. You know, we couldn't answer. They said we had bought a ranch in Wyoming, in Cheyenne. I mean, come on. So pretty soon, we got all these bad vibes, people saying foul things. We started hollering back. We started forgetting where we came from. We started forgetting what got us to where we were at. And we started just, if you can't beat them, join them. And we changed our ways and just changed everything about us. Bullet Bob Armstrong called me one night, and he said, Tracy, he said, you know, you've been like a fifth son to me. He said, but you're headed down the wrong road. He said, right now everything looks good. And I said, well, oh, yeah, everything looks good. I said, I'm one half the United States Tag Champions. What are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, it all looks great right now. He said, but remember this. He said, when you ride on that asphalt, you got a lot of riders with you. But once you run off in that mud, we'll see how many riders you got. As you can see right now, I'm on my own, and I don't have any titles. And I'm going to tell you this. After a while, I started looking around and seeing what this was doing to me, and that I wasn't true to myself, I wasn't true to my family or my friends, and all the money in the world is not worth that. So I left that situation, and now I'm in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which covers throughout all of East Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. And I'm there, and wherever you see that logo, SMW, wrestling the way you like it, you will see the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy, Tracy Smothers. And I'm going to do my dead-level best to show the millions of people out there watching this TV right now that I wasn't raised to be the type person that you saw the past year and a half. The old saying rings true. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. And these colors don't run. So wherever you see me, you will see the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy. So remember this, and this is my motto, and it always will ring true. I'm American by birth. I'm Southern by the grace of God. I'll see you at the matches.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Doc, I know you got a lot to say.
Well, let me just say this. Tim Horner, you have been replaced. Because that's everything Tim Horner wants to be, is the aw shucks Southern boy that one of the people, blah, blah, blah. And you've just seen a guy do it at 100%.
That's true, huh?
For real.
And because what you didn't see, if you're not watching this, is just him looking in the camera. He give that kind of grin, that kind of aw shucks grin that gets – he's just got the aw shucks going, which means, you know, he might be a little naughty, but the grandmas love him because he could charm the grandmas. And then I'm going to go out later after I talk to grandma. I'm going to have – well, I'm sipping iced tea with grandma, but tonight I'm going to have a few beers, maybe get you a couple girls, you know what I'm saying? So just that kind of bullshit's flowing. Let me just paint this. If you're not going to go back and watch, he is wearing an airbrush shirt. I didn't quite catch the saying on it, but I'm sure it was something southern and catchy. The porch swing is a swinging out there. He's on a back porch, and he's got a Confederate flag draped over it. You know, the whole idea that he says non-wrestling people, that's code word for corporate types. I pop every time I hear him go. I've never been to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I don't reckon I'll ever go. They do a cut to him shirtless out on a boat, driving a boat. So he's just, all the guys want to beam and all the girls want to fuck him. He talks about the millions of people that are watching him. It's just, he puts it all together. We've got ourselves a top baby face in the promotion that can talk, that can wrestle, that knows what he's doing. And he's here now. He's here, and he's here, I think, deep into 95, maybe all the way to the end. So we have acquired a top level talent, and he is a kick ass performer for the next couple of years. Welcome to the promotion, Tracy, the wild eyed boy, Southern boy Smothers.
Yeah, Harper, what you got? I'll wait to chime in. You've actually got to working cards with him before, but go ahead.
Yeah, I managed him once at Wildcat at the I guess what was that, like two?
Last year, right?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, it was. It was last year. It was at that. That was at the, what's that bar, y'all? Not bar, but that
at the Shamrock.
Shamrock, yeah.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that this Smoky Mountain audience is going to fucking fall in love with him in fucking 2 seconds. Because he's right down their fucking alley, man.
I'm American by birth. By the grace of
God. He's like a grown-up Dixie Dynamite.
Yes.
Dixie's for the kids. Tracy's for Saturday night. We're going to go out, dance a little bit, and maybe raise a little hell, drink a few Coors Lights, and then hopefully drag something out of the bar.
Let me tell you what got me more than anything on that, and this is the difference between him and Horner and just how he got over. And, of course, you know, we look back now, and, I mean, we know a lot more about Tracy Smothers from, you know, he went to ECW, and we also know he was in, you know, WCW, all that stuff. But he's on that porch, and he's like, man, I'm not trying to talk bad about the people of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Heck, I don't know. I ain't never even been there. He's just that aw shucks, good old Southern boy that they're going to love, and they're going to fall in love with this guy. I ain't even watched that much of his stuff post after this, like after he comes in, and I already know this sumbitch got the charm that the old ladies, the grannies are going to love him, and the young women are going to love him too, except they're going to want to bang him. And like Doc said, he's going to hit the bar, have a couple Coors Lights. You know, he's built for that territory in so many ways. And then he's shot on corporations and wrestling, which, goddamn, we preach the same shit today. You know, they were too redneck for that organization. What the fuck's that supposed to mean? This is wrestling. So, I mean, not what the fuck's supposed to mean, like I didn't agree with it. I'm saying it was a what the fuck moment for me about that corporation. So I just thought this shit was great. Oh, this was so awesome. And I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to be binge watching even more Smoky Mountain Wrestling to go further along than where we are. And further along, I've watched ahead of this, obviously, but whoo, Smothers is here,
I was going to save this till the end, but I'm going to say it now. When we started out in episode one, and then we went ahead, and then Harper came in a little bit later, he watched a bunch of episodes to catch up. Even then, he was watching the first few episodes. He goes, are you guys sure about this, man? The first couple episodes, what's going on here? And we told the listeners, we told Harper, we said, look, you got to give, they got to get going. They got to get their sea legs, and it picks up and it picks up and it picks up. And finally, by the, towards the end of fall of 92, this shit's going to be hitting on all cylinders. And so I think right now we have hit the, cause last week we really got into the fact that we got the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies about to hook up. You got Tracy Smothers in, and I'm going to tell you right now without telling you who it is, in 2 weeks, we find out who the master is. This shit's picking up, and it doesn't stop until about late 95. This promotion is about to hit it, and it's already been great.
Amen. Amen. That said, Tracy Smothers is here. We go to the ring for the next match. It is Robbie Eagle versus Killer Kyle. Cornette joins us on commentary during the match and immediately insults the genetic defects in the audience, as he says. He then leans into it, talking about Ricky Morton crying about Gibson running late to the event due to Gibson's mother's surgery, to which Cornette says, Gibson's mother had an operation, all right. She had an ugly transplant because she had so much to donate. Wow, is what came out of my mouth when I heard that. Back to the match. Killer Kyle destroys Robbie Eagle yet again, because he's beaten him a few times in the last month or two on Smoky Mountain Wrestling TV. Doc, I'll throw it to you. The star of this match wasn't the guys in the match. It was Cornette on the mic. Shocking,
it was.
Right?
It was, but I did have notes about this because I
okay,
Kyle came out. Kyle came out hot. He attacked in this thing, and I really thought, and I've been probably not as impressed by Kyle as the two of you lately being positioned as a Monster Hill, but I thought he was really impressive in this match, really working kind of downhill, coming at Robbie Eagle, and positioned himself as a him, and he looked like he was moving with urgency and a purpose out there. And then you've got Cornette on top of it that's just making it go as well. So I actually thought this was a really good match and good commentary.
Harper, what'd you have from it?
Yeah, the commentary was the star of this whole fucking match. I mean, Cornette, yeah.
It's
I
awesome,
can't get enough of Cornette.
I mean, this is the right promotion if you're a Jim Cornette
Well, you know
fan.
What? You know what, Harper? It appears that he can't get enough of us these days, too. We are in a mutual love affair with Jim Cornette. Doesn't it feel great?
Yeah.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Now, but as long as you're the one that one of you two has to take the tennis racket up the wait, what?
What?
That ain't. Yeah, what? So, we then go to a promo, and it is a short one. I'll play it for us here. Ricky Morton comes in, and Ricky is going to appear a few times in this episode, as we had mentioned earlier. So, let's hear what Morton has to say now about Robert Gibson heading to the arena.
Killer Kyle's hand of victory. Let's go right now to Bob Caudle standing by with the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton.
All right, and Dutch, right you are. And fans, here is Ricky Morton. Rick, Jim Cornette, he says there's some kind of a plot up. He doesn't believe this thing that Robert's on his way. And I know you want to just set everything straight for all the fans.
That's right. That's what I come here to say. Robert just called. He has landed already at the Tri-Cities Airport. He's in his car. He's on his way here. So, Cornette, don't get your hopes up. Rock and Roll's here, baby, and we're going to take those titles. All right?
All right, fans. That's going to be coming up later during this hour. You stay right with us. We'll be back.
I don't really have much from that. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory what he said. He's not really cutting a promo as much as he's giving an update on, you know, what's going on and where Gibson is at. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Anything else before I move to the next segment?
Nah, let's get to that because this is fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, big segment coming up. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch. So, let me hit the play button on that for us.
Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And the views expressed on this segment are not necessarily those of this station or the staff of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but they ought to be. Like I said before at the top of the program, my special guest today, Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Mr. Bob Armstrong, with some more news about the Master.
Well, if you'll remember last week, I promised the Master a chance to come on this program, speak his piece, talk to the fans, to me, to you, tell everybody what his problem is. I said I'd make that deal with him if he'd call off the Night Stalkers, get them out of here, take the bounty off. If he'll do that, then I'll let him speak his piece. But so far, Dutch, I haven't heard anything from him. I haven't heard anything from him since then.
There's a letter, Mr. Armstrong, or a note.
All right, it's addressed to me, Commissioner Armstrong. It says, you were so kind to make your offer to me last week.
My followers, the Night Stalker, and Malachi, the Grim Reaper, bring my greetings to you. They also bring a gift for Brian Lee and an offer. If Brian Lee wrestles and defeats the Night Stalker on next week's TV program, then I will appear in person the following week. However, I will not come merely to talk. I will appear only if I am allowed to face Brian Lee one-on-one in the ring. These are my terms. If you do not accept them, we will continue to meet like this. Well, I'll tell you, I'm ready to put a stop to the whole dadgum thing. Now, I don't know about him meeting the Master. I won't have any trouble booking a match with the Night Stalker for sure. But as far as him meeting the Master, I may have to go before the board, because the Master has really disturbed the board of directors. They're very upset with him. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if I have the power to do that.
Now. Okay, do you know who the Master is? Do you know anything about the Master?
I have no idea. All I know is I've been collecting these wanted posters for weeks. I collected 10 tonight. Brian Lee is upset. All his friends are upset. But
we're talking about Mr. Lee. He's on his way to ringside right now.
Hey, you let me interrupt 1 second.
Wait a minute. Brian Lee, 1967-1990. Looks like a tombstone, Mr. Lee.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing. I'm tired of this. This is sick. This isn't wrestling. This has been a dream of a lifetime to be a wrestler, and this is not wrestling, Dutch Mantel. And I'll tell you, Bob, they say Night Stalker, if I go through you next week, I get the Master. Well, it doesn't matter if I go through you right now, but I guarantee you one thing. Next week, I'm going through you, and Master arranged to see me.
Well, there you have it, fans. It looks like a grave situation to me. They don't go away. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned. The title match between the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll Express coming up right after this.
All right. Things are escalating. Doc, go ahead.
Was Malachi new? Have we seen that guy before?
No, I don't think we've seen him before. He's new.
Okay. Man, so I guess we need to explain that the gift was actually a tombstone, a headstone with Primetime's name on it and the date, his date of birth, and his that 1992. Man, I thought, here's the thing. Some of the stuff he said was goofy, but I thought Primetime Brian Lee fired up really good there. And so last week we were talking about how it's like, man, he's not playing this well. I thought he fired up there, and I guess it's because it's about the time to pay this off, but maybe he really is Primetime Brian Lee. He can't do it in every week, but you know, he fired up the week that he won the title way back. He's firing up now as we get closer to the end of this thing. Maybe he can fire up. That's the problem. He can. He just doesn't do it consistently.
Yeah, Hopper, you said that last week. You thought he did better. You didn't say what it was, but you thought this one was going to be better. And go ahead. I'll let you tell me what you thought about it, Hopper.
Yeah. I love how it's a little fucking tombstone, and then he becomes a fake Undertaker.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, irony,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. But
I always wonder who fucking writes those little, you know, like the little letters that he's reading.
The Master, dude.
The Master's writing them.
Oh, but who's really writing them? I think it's Bob Armstrong. Like, okay, what the fuck we're going to do?
Are you saying that the Bob Armstrong is the Master?
He could be the Master.
No.
Yes, but
Cornette's the producer of the damn show. I'm sure he may be writing it or giving Armstrong an idea of what he wants in there. But as far as writing it verbatim,
what are you talking about? You guys are confusing the shit out of me. What are you talking about? Who's writing it? It's the Master.
Obviously, the Master is writing the letters from storyline perspective. I think what Harper's asking is who's writing the letters as far as, like, for the show. And it's Cornette. Cornette produced the show, so I'm sure it's him.
I'm tired of this. I'm just going to tell everybody who the Master is.
No, you son of a bitch.
Do it.
No.
It's Barry Horowitz. He's back.
Fuck you, son of a bitch. Fuck you.
It's Rip Rogers.
You son of a bitches.
Where's Rip Rogers?
Come on,
been?
Man. I don't know where Rip Rogers has been. However, we are now going to a promo with Bullet Bob Armstrong, Ricky Morton, and then what do you know, Jim Cornette is going to interrupt us. So let's hear what's coming up next on this week's episode.
Fans, with me right now here is Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong and, of course, Ricky Morton, Rock and Roll Rick.
You know, Bob, I kind of hate to come out here because I'm kind of embarrassed to say this right here, but I don't think Robert's going to be able to make the match tonight. I've come out here to ask Commissioner Bob Armstrong and see if we could postpone this match to next week, because, you know, Robert had to go home. His mother had an operation. He had to come back. And, you know, it's running up, you know, on time, but I want to see if I get this match postponed to next week.
Let me say this. I know Robert Gibson is always here on time. I've seen him warming up, getting ready for the matches time and time again.
Yes,
and he'd be here if he could, and he may be here before it's over. But I'll tell you one thing. That's fine with me. The match will take place next week. I'll sign it right here. You've got your championship match. We'll make it next week. Okay, Rick?
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that very much.
Wait a minute. Here's Jim Cornette.
You watch out. Now, you keep him away from me. I got a contract. Shut up, you defects. I got a contract right here for a tag team title match that you went to the ends of the earth to get. Well, you got it, and it's got today's date on it. Not next week, not next month, not next year. You ain't got a partner, that ain't my problem. If you want a match for the belt, same one I signed last week, you nut. If you want a match for the belts, then you better produce a partner today or you're going to forfeit, because I'm holding you to the contract that you signed just like I did, brother. Today or never.
I'm sorry, the contract's legal. I signed it. You know, you asked me to sign it. We signed it. So I guess it's going to have to be a legal contract.
Oh, my God. Okay. Thank you, Bobby.
All right, and I hope Rick's able to come up with a partner. Fans, don't, this is not over. This is going to continue. We're going to try to get something worked out, I'm sure, before this hour is over.
Okay, Doc, what'd you think, man?
I'm fine with this. What I don't understand is in the last update why he said he was on the ground and on his way.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he called from the airport and said he was going to get a taxi. And, well, he still hasn't showed up. And
he forgot where he landed. And in the Tri-Cities airport, there are no taxis. There's still horse and buggies. And
I guess.
Call an Uber.
You know, we're pre-cell phone at this point too. Yeah. So we can't sit there and go, well, you should have texted him and see where he was. Well, yeah, that's what happened in 92.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're not pre-running water and indoor plumbing in this part of the world.
Jesus Christ. Bob Cottle at the end of that is about to start giving a recap of Orndorff and Garvin. They replay the Orndorff promo from last week when Orndorff tells Davis he hoped he broke Davis's neck, and they carry Davis off on a stretcher at the end of that match. And then that leads us into a promo with Garvin and Dixie Dynamite.
All right, fans, with me right now, Dixie Dynamite, and here's the man with the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. Ronnie, we said it was sort of funny, that robe that was Paul Orndorff's. It's a little funny now on you, cut off like that, but it got really dirty and nasty for Nitro Danny Davis last week.
That's right. I'm going to tell you, it goes to show you that from the beginning I was right talking about Paul Orndorff, what extent he'll go. He don't care if he has to cripple people like Danny Davis. Well, I've called his family, and they told me that he was going to be okay, maybe a month or two, but he's got a brace around his neck, and he's lucky that it didn't break his neck. It was very close to it. Paul Orndorff, you want to go to the extent of crippling people and putting them out of wrestling? Well, are you going to have to deal with me? I feel responsible for what happened to Danny Davis for the simple reason because he's been behind me, he's been helping me, he's been watching my back, because Paul Orndorff has been known to ask help from other guys. And Danny Davis is a true friend of mine, and he stands by me. And Danny Davis, I'm going to make Paul Orndorff pay for what he did. And this gentleman here probably will start right tonight.
Well, a close friend and, of course, a partner in Nitro, Danny Davis, Dixie Dynamite. Dixie?
That's exactly right. You know, Danny Davis has been my partner on many occasions, and I saw what happened. And I saw all the people in the building, they were chanting, Paula, Paula. So you hear them right now, Bob Cottle. Well, tonight, brother, it's me and it's you, Paula, and I'm going to be coming at you all the way live. You will see stars.
All right, fans, that match will be coming up when we come back, right after we take this brief timeout.
Okay, Doc. Thoughts on that one?
Man, I noticed, and I guess it really hit me in this little segment, but this crowd has been hot all show, and I got a feeling that Dixie Dynamite is their kind of guy. Man, he got him going there.
Look, you're going to hear it in a second, so I don't want to, you know, say this now, but I guess I am saying it now. We're not high on this angle. Is that a fair statement, Doc?
I'm ready for it to go ahead and conclude.
Yeah, we're not high on his angle. Neither is Harper. None of us are. The three of us are like, this is not doing it for us. But if you think about it, in the buildings that they're going to, fans are into it. So there you have it. Live audience is into it. I don't know what the people at home are thinking so much, but live audience is into it. That said, Harper, did you have anything from it before I go to the next segment?
I think they're really biting for that Paula shit because this is a new, fresh crowd.
Yeah, I think so too.
And for the last episodes, it's been the same people sitting here watching this over and over and over again.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Now, for what it's worth, we go to a match, and it's right after the promo. It's Orndorff versus Dixie. You know, whether we like it or not, it seems to be over. This feud is not great, but the fans are on fire. Orndorff appears to be a bit of a puppet master. You know, it is what it is. I know none of us like this feud, but the building is lit. Not in lit, but they are lit. And, you know, Garvin eventually comes out, teases Orndorff with the robe. Orndorff chases Garvin around the ring a few times, gets counted out of the match. Again, I don't like it, but it's over with the fans. Doc, your thoughts?
Eh.
Okay. Harper, you?
Yeah.
See?
It's kind of hard.
Him in his towel. Tie him in your goddamn towel.
I'm kind of tired of the title, too. It's kind of hard. That match is kind of hard to deal with when you got this coming up on its heels, and this has been playing out all episode, what I'm about to play right here.
All right, fans, with me right now, Ricky Moore. And Ricky, last word I had was that Robert still had not arrived. Is that right?
Well, Bob, you know, sometimes things happen that you have no control over. At this moment right now, Robert Gibson hadn't showed up. It looks like I'm going to have to forfeit the match that we worked so hard for. But, you know, sometimes things just like that happen. You know, he landed in the Tri-City Airport. He hadn't got here yet. It's time for the match. And you know how Jimmy Cornette, look coming here. Here he comes.
Here comes Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Body. What?
You know what?
No.
Hey.
Oh, no.
Man, let me tell you what's going on here, brother. Let me tell you what's happened. Your partner has suckered you. Your partner has done the same thing to you that you did to him a couple of years ago. He's left you standing out in front of a bunch of people like a blithering idiot. And I love it. I've been waiting a long time to see you made a fool out of like this because you see, just like you said when you came back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, brother, you've lost everything in your stinking life. You lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your family, you lost your friends, you lost your fans, all because of the way you were acting, and now you have lost your partner who finally got a chance to get even with you. And you know what that makes you, Ricky Morton? A habitual, chronic loser. And I've been waiting since 1984 to look you in the eye and have my boys wearing tag team belts and we're ready to wrestle and you ain't got no partner and you can't get in the ring and like I said, you ain't got no friends, no family. They don't care nothing about you. They're a bunch of blithering idiots too. The only person in the world that'll even talk to you is your stinking daddy, Paul Morton, over there in Nashville. And the only reason that he speaks to you is because he's so drunk all the time he don't know who you are.
Oh, wow. Let me tell you something, buddy. You don't talk about my family, and I'll be damned if you won't get away with this at a fight. Come on.
All right, and Morton says, go to the ring, by golly. And he goes charging in, Doc.
Okay, as you hear, they're now in a match. Ricky Morton said, fuck this, and I'm going to take you two on, you know, two on one. Doc, go ahead. I'm sure you got some commentary about what we just heard from Ricky and then Cornette in that promo before it leads to a two on one match.
Corny just walking up doing the chicken impersonation. He let loose on Morton, causing Morton to slap him. Just. Guess what? We've got a long-standing personal issue that's about to get litigated in the ring. And the crowd is into it. I'm into it. We're into it. Jesus.
Yeah, Harper, what'd you have before I kind of say what I think?
He called his dad a drunk. Who does that?
Well, he's already called Bobby Fulton's mother a whore and his dad a drunk a few episodes ago. So I would assume it's Jim Cornette that does that.
This is so great. like you said, Doc, when Cornette comes out with the bark, 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 bark. The visual and the sound are, you watch it and you listen, you're like, holy shit. He's just insulting the piss out of Morton, and Morton just finally gets tired of it. Just says, fuck this, I'm slapping your ass. And then it leads to the match. I don't know if you could do it any better than this. I mean, I don't think you, here's the thing, and I want people to understand, like, as I'm watching this, the sympathy that they set up for Ricky Morton here, who's already a great babyface in his own mind, in his own right, the sympathy that they set up for him is perfect. Because, so, Morton looks like he's going to have to forfeit and not have the match because his partner isn't there and couldn't make it. Cornette comes out and starts, you know, verbally eviscerating him. He calls Morton a loser, talks about how he lost his family, talks about how he's lost everything he ever had. So as a fan, you know, you're like, God, man, I'm starting to feel sorry for this man. And then he starts laying in on his dad. It's like, dude, how far are you going to go, man? Come on, man. Look, you know,
as a heel, keep going.
Right.
Keep going.
Let's keep going. Let's push the issue. Let's give some sympathy here. Let's try to get some sympathy for this babyface. And he kept going. And finally, like any good, you know, babyface will do, they finally have enough. They sit there and take it for as long as they can. And you're like, you know what? Screw it. I know it's 2-on-1. I know my partner's out here. I'm still going to have this match, and we're going to do this shit. And I just thought that was a beautiful. It was put together so great. And, you know, nobody does shit like that anymore, and it's one of the reasons why we're doing this. But I just love that part. Now, anything before I go to the match, Doc or Harper?
Go ahead.
So we go to the match. Morton, he holds his own at first.
For a long time.
Man, it's
like a hot tag, but there's no one to tag. How he's, because he's on fire. Right,
yeah, I think I timed it, and it was about 4 to 5 minutes. He is on a roll. He is like, they cannot get the upper hand on him. Just flat out on fire. And it's, and the crowd is just, they're erupting. Yeah. They're loving it. I mean, this guy, this man who was just verbally eviscerated a second ago or a few minutes ago is in there, and he's holding his own. Not only are the Heavenly Bodies in the ring, you got Cornette and Kyle on the outside, too, just waiting to get their shit in. So I just thought that was great. Now, I don't know if y'all caught this. Did you catch Dutch accusing Gibson about being drunk somewhere, and that's why Gibson wasn't there?
Yes, that was awesome.
I thought that was great, too. Yeah. Anything else before I go to, like, the, you know, when things turn in the match, Doc?
No.
Okay, so back into the match after Dutch's beautiful comment about Gibson being drunk somewhere, and that's why Gibson wasn't there. Morton gets sent to the outside. He then goes into the ring post, and what do you know? We got Ricky Morton split open and spilling some blood. Morton then does the classic sell and ass-kicking job that he does. It's begun at that point. But the rock and roll chants, they don't stop. They keep going. I mean, Ricky takes just, you know, as Cornette said during the Hall of Fame, a classic Ricky Morton ass-whooping. Gibson finally hits the ring. I timed it. 8 minutes into the match, and Gibson starts handing out an ass-whooping. Gibson's got jeans on and a T-shirt, appearing to have just got to the building. Mayhem ensues with, you know, Kyle gets involved at one point. The Heavenly Bodies and Cornette and Kyle are laying waste to the rock and roll, and all the faces, they come out and they try to help. We go off the air hot. Nothing's resolved. Just like you like it back in the day at Territory Wrestling. Doc, I'll throw it to you first.
I thought right before Gibson comes out, that Morton had died. That the Heavenly Bodies had taken the air out of the building. But man, when Gibson came out, it was on again. They were hot. That crowd really helped them out. That was awesome.
Yeah.
They believed. There's a lot of young kids in this audience. If you look at like the hard camera, I think you can see a lot of kids. But they believed. You know, I know Harper's over there saying, they were into it. I'll say six guys if you include Cornette and Kyle. These motherfuckers were puppet masters in this match.
Yeah.
This whole segment, actually.
They got one guy in the crowd. He's this big old fat, typical looking white trash guy with a red hat on and a wife beater. And I was like, he's my government cheese. Like, this guy was fucking awesome. Pure, like, fat white trash guy that was just eating on his shit up.
Oh, Harper gave out his government cheese early. He shot his load already.
No, he didn't.
Okay. But I don't, you know, I just thought they go off the air hot. Nothing's resolved. And when nothing's resolved, what do I have to do next week, Doc?
I gotta see how this, what's going to happen?
Right. If you know what? If church was at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning the next week and the wrestling's coming on at 10 o'clock, well, Jesus, I love you, but I got to miss Mass. I'm sorry. Just how it is. Yeah. So, man, just a great episode, which then leads us into anything else before we go to the disability checks, Doc.
I'm fucking worn out. That was 51 minutes of power-packed action.
That was awesome. That was awesome. With that said, this episode right here, it's going to get an 8.5 from me. Tracy Smothers, rock and roll. Ricky Morton spills some blood. It just doesn't get any better. Well, it will get better, but it was fantastic. Doc, what did you have?
This is the first time where I've been saying you got to give us some episodes to get this thing going. This feels like the culmination of a lot of work we've put in on this so far. This is like watching one of your kids do a good job. The Smothers thing is just not grand slam, bottom of the ninth, World Series level stuff. I'm a little surprised that you were such a hard grader, you jackass. I'm actually going a higher than you. This is by far the highest rating I've handed out in months of doing this. Give me an 8.7. This was fucking phenomenal.
That is high for you. What about you, Harper?
It gets a 9.
Whoa!
I haven't been because you know it's coming next week, man. Dude, next week? It's fucking must-see TV.
Yep.
That's true. Because, like, I didn't even say this when I was handing out the check, but we're 2 weeks away from the Master, but not just that. But we got, in the next episode, Brian Lee is involved with the Night Stalker. That kind of left as a cliffhanger. We really didn't get a whole lot of Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy, although we got some. You still got that coming up. You know, trying to see where that's going. This shit's just popping off, man. And, you know, to be honest, the worst thing we saw in this was Garvin and Dixie Dynamite, and that wasn't even that bad. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
It's not the greatest thing in the world, but if that's your weak spot, then you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, holy shit.
I've never been above 8 ever. We're 8.7.
8.5, 8.7, and 9. Woo! Yeah. We are rolling on this week. God damn. So y'all were Doc, you were very generous. You are never that generous. So that's incredible.
You gotta earn it, but if you earn it, I'll give it out. And I'm telling you right now, if we're gonna segue over to the government cheese, is there anybody else that gets it but Tracy Smothers? Come on.
No. Tracy Smothers is getting it. Come on. I can't.
Yeah.
It's funny because this is 2 weeks in a row where the second place person for the government cheese did such a, like, so for last week for 38, I gave mine to Cornette and you guys gave it to Ron Wright. So I guarantee that it was either, do I give it to Ron Wright or Jim Cornette for both of us? So the guy who you didn't give it to was a fucking superstar. So this week, my second, and I bet all of y'all's second, was Ricky Morton, who bumped around the ring and kept that shit going for several minutes by himself. And look how good second place is in the Government Cheese Awards. This promotion is fucking firing on all cylinders, and I'm fucking getting excited.
Yeah, that's a good point, because any other week, Ricky Morton gets the Government Cheese. Easily. And if he doesn't get it, and if he doesn't give it, you probably give it to Ron Wright.
Cornette.
Cornette. Yeah. And if he doesn't get it, maybe Ron Wright. This shit was on, this was it. Man, if you're just joining us and you ain't listened to the older ones, I'm just going to tell you right now, get along, strap in. We're going into November soon in a couple of weeks, and the shit is hitting the fan, and you should be enjoying it. And with that said, subscribe to us if you're on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, you know, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. However you get this, subscribe. And please, I'm going to beg you, throw us a 5-star review on iTunes if you listen to us there. We'd appreciate it. It's a great way to support the show because what happens is whenever we get more 5-star reviews, the higher we are on iTunes' rankings. And that's all I'll say there. On Twitter, we're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at @CJHWhoDat. And then Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. I'd like to ask, check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. If you click the Shop Now button on our Facebook page, you can go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. All right, Doc, you know I've been saying it now for a few weeks. Man, YouTube sucks, right, Doc? We can't mind.
Harper and I rolled by. Harper and I went down there. You know, we were talking about going down there and whipping some ass at the YouTube office, but we went down there. We couldn't find it. We drove around town for a little bit. We couldn't find the office, so we just went and got drunk.
Well, YouTube sucks for multiple reasons.
Yeah, it does. Fuck YouTube, man. We hate YouTube. But anyway, the reason I say that is, I was posting some of our old interviews on YouTube, and they were making a couple of pennies here and there and helping us pay for the show and do all the good things that, you know, that it costs money to do, equipment for the show. So, well, guess what? YouTube kind of screwed us, so I'm hoping that some of you out there will consider becoming a patron member and get exclusive benefits like our patron-only episodes, get a chance to come on the show for a couple of minutes. All that can be done just by going to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I'd appreciate it, man, if you do it. It helps, like I said. It's just a way to support the show. If you love the 8 free shows that we do each and every month, this is a great way to support it. And like I said, there are some exclusive benefits, opportunity to come on the show, you know, if that's what floats your boat. And also, you get the patron-only episodes. Doc, you still going through Bobby Blaze's books lately?
Yes, I am.
Former Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champ Bobby Blaze, are you still on Pin Me, Pay Me, or have you moved to the other one yet?
I'm still reading Pin Me, Pay Me. I'm a busy man, so I don't get to just sit down all day and read books, even though I'd like to. But I definitely can give you a Doc's 5-star super-duper seal of approval on it so far. I'm enjoying the shit out of it, and I suspect that I will continue to enjoy the shit out of the rest of it.
So if you are,
you know what? But I got an idea here for Bobby, because I want to help Bobby make some money.
What's that?
Well, I think Bobby may have some trouble selling books to our audience because I'm not sure how many of them can read. So he might want to do like a picture book version of his Pin Me, Pay Me so that everyone can buy one.
Yeah, that's get the audio. Nice.
Get the audio. Yeah, Audible, whatever it's called. Look, if you do want to support Bobby or even support us, go to Amazon, and it's tinyurl.com/BTT Amazon. Bookmark that. You can get Bobby Blaze's books from there. You can also get whatever else you're buying from Amazon from there. That is a great way to support the show without spending any extra money, because what will happen is we get a little bit of small kickback on anything that you buy from there. So please consider it. We'd greatly appreciate it. It's a great way to support the show. If you want to make a one-time donation to the show, you can go to tinyurl.com/BTT PayPal as well. That's a great way to support the show and donate to us. All of the links that I mentioned just now, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, the, you know, Patreon, Amazon, all that good stuff, it is in the show notes of the show. So please, you know, look down there if you didn't catch them all, because they are in there. Last thing I want to say before I see if Doc and Harper have anything else is I want to say thanks to Joe Stassi, his Old School Pro Wrestling Lives page, and his ICW Outlaws of Wrestling Facebook pages. Check those pages out, man. Go join their online community. They post a lot of good old school wrestling pics. There's some cool stuff, and I post the shows there as well. I'm trying to think, Doc, man. I am exhausted, not because I'm tired of podcasting, but because this was a fucking fantastic episode, man. Did I miss anything?
Man, I don't think so. This is kind of the you know, the term we like to use around the office a lot. This show is starting to bear fruit, we're starting to get the paid off, and it's been good. Don't get me wrong, man. Smoky Mountain's been entertaining us and providing us fun and joy for all these months, But man, I think we're getting ready to take another step up, and it's going to stay there for a long while. And it's going to really, really show people, I think, that are following along, especially for the first time, why this may be very well be, given all things considered, the best promotion in the history of the business.
That's a big thing to say, Doc, you know, when you say that. And
just,
I got to admit,
we say that with the time frame, the area they ran in, the limited resources, the everything working against them, but still able to perform some of the stuff we're going to see in the next couple of years. It's in the discussion for sure. And I think this was a first, and we've seen a lot, but today was a really good indicator and window into the future, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. This is... We're picking things up. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
I just can't wait. I can't wait till the next fucking episode. I'm going to watch it as soon as I fucking hang up with y'all.
Are you going to miss church for it? Are you going to miss church for it?
Fuck yeah, bro.
Hey, you know what, though? We for the fans, so we get a little window in how the BTT operations works. We record two Smoky Mountain episodes every other Friday morning. So this is a Friday morning we're at, right? So, yeah. The next time we record, second episode, we're going to be talking about who the master is. So things just keep happening. It's just fun every time now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Harper's going to miss church because he's got to catch Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 40. He's probably going to watch 41 too, so he can see who the master is. I can see him doing that. See, there you go. He's like a kid in a candy store. I think we got most of the promos from this week. But if not, you know how we do it. I always like to put some album at the end. Also, we'll put commentary at the end if there's any commentary that we miss. But, man, things are heating up. We're going into the winter of 92 here, and shit's just getting better and better. If you're listening to this, please also check out our flagship show. If you love Southern wrestling, we go through the NWA Saturday night shows from the mid-80s right now, and we talk about all a host of other classic wrestling topics. If you don't like the WWE, we're the ones that you want to listen to because we don't give two shits about that company, and we love supporting what we love back in the day and telling the real history of professional wrestling, at least the Southern version of history from Southern guys, not from some Northern people trying to tell their version of the history. That said, I'm going to throw it over to Harper. Harper, hit the tagline and get us over to the promos that we have for this week, if there are any.
Book it, bitch.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling is bringing live professional wrestling to Eastern Kentucky, to the East Towns, Harlan, Kentucky at the Kaywood High School, Friday, November the 13th at 8 p.m. Barberville, Kentucky, the Knox Central High School, Monday, November the 9th. Ronnie Garvin will be in Barberville. Also, Feds Creek, Kentucky, the Feds Creek High School, Friday, November the 6th, 8 p.m. The Rock and Roll Express will be in all these towns. And also, Paintsville, Kentucky, at the Paintsville High School, Saturday, November the 7th at 8 p.m. Six big matches in Paintsville, including a Smoky Mountain title match. The Dirty White Boy defending against White Lightning Tim Horner.
You know, I've obviously got a lot of people wondering these days. Everybody's wondering, what's Tim Horner going to do in Paintsville when he gets in the ring with that Dirty White Boy? Well, I'm not going to tell you people in Paintsville and not being disrespectful, but I don't want nobody to know what I'm doing to the Dirty White Boy. He's not even going to want to know. I want him to come down the streets of Paintsville looking over his shoulder because I may jump him before he gets to Paintsville. And you better hope, Dirty White Boy, that volunteer fire department is there standing by to put your butt out when I get through kicking it.
Also in Paintsville, Paul Orndorff against Ronnie Garvin. And these guys, Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. And free pictures to the first 500 fans in Paintsville.
You know, Brian, that Jimmy Cornette and them Heavenly Bodies, they tried to end my career. They tried to mess up my hand real bad. Let me tell you something, Jimmy Cornette. It's going to be 110% right there. You better get your man ready.
That's right. Later on in the show, all the fans are going to see what happened that was taped a couple days earlier. But you see, Jimmy Cornette, throughout the history of the Rock and Roll Express, and you, Jimmy Cornette, well, I can say, you always try to do something to put us out of professional wrestling because you knew you could not face the fact that you could not beat the Rock and Roll Express. Well, I want to say one thing to all the fans here in Paintsville. You be ready and hold on tight, Jack, because it's time to explode like dynamite. You see, Jimmy Cornette, it's a stud stable that reunited the Rock and Roll Express. Now it's you, Jimmy Cornette, that's going to put us right back where we were before, right on top, because, baby, we're going to walk a mud hole on your behind, and then we're going to stomp it dry. We don't care what it takes, right here in Paintsville. So all the fans, come on down. Rock and Roll Express is here to stay, not here to play.
Fans, right now we want to hear from one of the most exciting young men in wrestling, making his way now to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It's the wild-eyed Southern boy, and are we glad to have him, Tracy Smothers. Let's hear from Tracy right now.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Bob Armstrong of Smoky Mountain Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to talk to the fans a little bit. Now, I got a little story to tell, and I'd like for y'all to sit back and just listen. All y'all know, for the past 2.5 years, I've competed in World Championship Wrestling out of Atlanta, Georgia. And y'all know, for the past 1.5 years, the side of the fence I've been on, well, I'd like to enlighten you on a little story here. When we first came in there, I was one half of the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, and we signed a contract for more money than I've ever seen in my life. And man, we got in there and things were going good, and we come that close to being the United States Tag Team Champions, and even closer to being the World Tag Champions. After we'd been there about 1 year, I guess, some of the corporate people, the non-wrestling people, I might add, approached us and said, you know, guys, your outfits, you just don't look flashy enough, and we don't really want that redneck country boy style, and you know, we would really like for you to change your name and maybe, you know, brighten that outfit up and get it, you know, get a nice shining outfit and be cowboys and take you away from that Southern boy. It just felt like they didn't like the fact that we were from the South and represented the South and what we stood for, and they wanted to change it all together. And even where we're from, want us to say that we were from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, no offense to the folks that live out there in Wyoming. I've never been to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I don't reckon I'll ever go. But, you know, we did that, changed our name to the Young Pistols. And, man, they started sending us to these towns up north. And I'd never been up north before, and things are fast-paced. And folks up there just ain't that good old Southern hospitality. And they didn't really like us, and tell you the truth, we didn't really like them either. And when we started getting, man, we started getting bad vibes up north and even down south, people didn't understand. Why are y'all called the Young Pistols? Why are y'all not the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, which we had been for the past 5 years? And we couldn't answer. You know, we couldn't answer. They said we had bought a ranch in Wyoming, in Cheyenne. I mean, come on. So pretty soon, we got all these bad vibes, people saying foul things. We started hollering back. We started forgetting where we came from. We started forgetting what got us to where we were at. And we started just, if you can't beat them, join them. And we changed our ways and just changed everything about us. Bullet Bob Armstrong called me one night, and he said, Tracy, he said, you know, you've been like a fifth son to me. He said, but you're headed down the wrong road. He said, right now everything looks good. And I said, well, oh, yeah, everything looks good. I said, I'm one half the United States Tag Champions. What are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, it all looks great right now. He said, but remember this. He said, when you ride on that asphalt, you got a lot of riders with you. But once you run off in that mud, we'll see how many riders you got. As you can see right now, I'm on my own, and I don't have any titles. And I'm going to tell you this. After a while, I started looking around and seeing what this was doing to me, and that I wasn't true to myself, I wasn't true to my family or my friends, and all the money in the world is not worth that. So I left that situation, and now I'm in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which covers throughout all of East Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. And I'm there, and wherever you see that logo, SMW, Wrestling the Way You Like It, you will see the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy, Tracy Smothers. And I'm going to do my dead-level best to show the millions of people out there watching this TV right now that I wasn't raised to be the top person that you saw the past 1.5 years. The old saying rings true. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. And these colors don't run. So wherever you see me, you will see the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy. So remember this, and this is my motto, and it always will ring true. I'm American by birth. I'm Southern by the grace of God. I'll see you at the matches.
Wrestling fans, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is bringing live professional wrestling to these sounds in Eastern Kentucky. Harlan, Kentucky at the Kentwood High School Friday, November the 13th at 8 p.m. Barberville, Kentucky at the Knox Central High School Monday, November the 9th at 8 p.m. Ronnie Garvin will be in Barberville. Also, Feds Creek, Kentucky at the Feds Creek High School Friday, November the 6th at 8 p.m. The Rock and Roll Express will be in all of these towns. And also, Smoky Mountain Wrestling in Paintsville, Kentucky at the Paintsville High School Saturday, November the 7th, 8 p.m. Six big matches, Paul Orndorff against Ronnie Garvin, and also in Paintsville, a Smoky Mountain title match with the Dirty White Boy defending against White Lightning Tim Horner.
Painful. Get ready, baby. It's getting closer and closer. It's getting real close. Rush right out and buy your tickets, because you're going to see the end of White Lightning Tim Horner. Because Horner... You've been a thorn in my side. You've bothered poor old Mr. Wright. The man is still in the home. He's sick, and what do? You keep calling him and calling him. Give me a title shot. Give me a title shot. Well, you've got it in Paintsville, buddy. And when I walk that aisle, there's only going to be one man walk out, and you're looking at him, the heavyweight champion.
Also in Paintsville, the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies managed by Jim Cornette, and free pictures to the first 500 fans.
Give them everything. Go ahead, bring some food. Bring some canned food. Yeah, everybody bring some canned food down there to Paintsville High School, just like every other one of the welfare cases. Give them some canned food. Give them some Spam. Give them something to take home. I'll tell you what we're going to give the Rock and Roll Express. You better take one of those letters out of the name of Paintsville. Shouldn't be hard. You don't know how to spell up there anyway in Eastern Kentucky. Take that T out, and it's going to become Painsville. Because that's what you're in for, Rock and Roll Express. A whole lot of pain. This is personal. That's exactly right. Has been with me in the rock and roll for a long time. Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Bodies. The first time Paintsville seen real men in a long time is going to be November the 7th, brother. Don't miss it.
All right, fans. With me right now, Ricky Moore. And Ricky, last word I had was that Robert still had not arrived. Is that right?
Well, Bob, you know, sometimes things happen that you have no control over. At this moment right now, Robert Gibson hadn't showed up. It looks like I'm going to have to forfeit the match that we worked so hard for. But, you know, sometimes things just like that happen. You know, he landed in the Tri-City Airport. He hadn't got here yet. It's time for the match. And you know how Jimmy Cornette, look, coming here. Here he comes.
Here comes Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Body. What?
You know what?
No.
Hey. Man, let me tell you what's going on here, brother. Let me tell you what's happened. Your partner has suckered you. Your partner has done the same thing to you that you did to him a couple of years ago. He's left you standing out in front of a bunch of people like a blithering idiot. And I love it. I've been waiting a long time to see you made a fool out of like this because, you see, just like you said when you came back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, brother, you've lost everything in your stinking life. You lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your family, you lost your friends, you lost your fans, all because of the way you were acting, and now you have lost your partner who finally got a chance to get even with you. And you know what that makes you, Ricky Morton? A habitual, chronic loser. And I've been waiting since 1984 to look you in the eye and have my boys wearing tag team belts and we're ready to wrestle and you ain't got no partner and you can't get in the ring and like I said, you ain't got no friends, no family. They don't care nothing about you. They're a bunch of blithering idiots too. The only person in the world that'll even talk to you is your stinking daddy, Paul Morton, over there in Nashville. And the only reason that he speaks to you is because he's so drunk all the time he don't know who you are.
Oh, well, and then, let me tell you something, buddy. You don't talk about my family, and I'll be damned if you won't get away with this at a fight. Come on.
All right, and Morton says, go to the ring, by golly. And he goes charging in, Doug.
Well, Bob, I'll have to say, I think Ricky Morton made us a fair mistake.